Jesus. Okay. Dun, dun, dun! So I have
I'm like a fucking little schoolgirl now. I'm all excited.
All right. Thank you for watching Three Sides of the Coin. That was our show.
It's a great time.
I hope you guys didn't miss it. Mark showed some amazing collectibles.
Best show ever.
Jesus.
He had never shown these items that were personally given to him by Gene Simmons before to anybody.
And this was one time only.
One time only, and Tommy was just jaw on the floor. So, guys, I hope you loved this show because this was freaking awesome. Thank you for watching.
Oh, my God. Thanks again. Thanks, Mark.
Yep. See you later, guys.
Be part of Three Sides of the Coin. Leave a video message for us. Head over to threesidesofthecoin.com, click on the video message link, and record your 3-minute video. Everybody, welcome back to Three Sides of the Coin. This was the episode that was meant to never, ever, ever happen. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Michael Branville, and as always, I'm joined by Tommy Summers.
Hello,
Tommy,
hello.
I will give you the honors of introducing, well, most of our viewers already know who the third guy is, but introduce him.
No, they don't, because you can actually see him.
That's right.
Yeah. Everybody, this is Mark Cecchini. He's one of the biggest KISS collectors in the world, undisputed. And so we thought, hey, instead of just Mark's segment weekly.
Giving him his 3 minutes, we'll give him 6 minutes because that's all we got left.
And I think we're going to name the segment "It Ain't Spencer's Crap."
Yep.
Mark agreed to come on today and just share some stuff with us and just kind of more talk about collecting. So for those of you that have been collecting forever, he's going to talk a little bit about the hardest things he's had to get his hands on. He's going to maybe encourage some of you who are new to this. You know, if you want to collect something and you feel overwhelmed and don't know where to start, maybe Mark can help figure out, you know, where your interest lies by answering some questions and sharing some things. So just
so you guys know, we're under a time constraint because we spent 2 hours flight and Skype here.
That's bullshit.
You're not going to get any home. You're not going to get any housekeeping this week. Let's hear the round of applause for that. Yay!
Woo-hoo!
No comments. None of that stuff. Let's just jump right in. So, Mark, how long have you been collecting?
You know, I get asked that a lot, and to be honest, it was one of those things when I was a kid, if it had the funny S's, I used to say, if it had the funny S's at the end, I wanted it. And that's basically how it turned out. When I was a kid, matter of fact, a good thing to do if anybody's go on my Facebook, you look through some of my pictures, my bedroom walls, and I have pictures from like 1978. Now, keep in mind, back in 76 there, that were coated. I mean, head to toe, the whole room. Always had collected the posters and all the vinyl and pictures. I was just a maniac about it. I didn't know I was collecting. And I was thinking about it today because I knew I was going to be, you know, talking to you guys. Here's a great example. I got married in 91, bought my first house in 90. I moved out of my parents' house with my pickup truck. Everything in the back of my truck, like my bed, my nightstand, all that stuff fit in one move in the back of my pickup. I had to go back to my parents' house twice to get my KISS stuff. So, you know, and not just KISS, my records, my, you know, at the time, a cassette, just all my music because I was so into, you know, I was a maniac about all that stuff. I didn't know I was collecting. Then my wife is totally cool with all this.
So when we got, itself is a freaking miracle.
I know. So when we bought the first house, and we were obviously it was just the two of us. So I made one room the KISS room, and then when we had our son Ian, that had to move out because that was the bigger bedroom. And then I just took over the basement. And as the kids got older, their friends used to refer to our basement as the haunted basement because I had my KISS mannequins and all my memorabilia, you know, displayed. So I guess in a nutshell, I went from just wanting everything that they had to, you know, I had a box full, then 10 boxes full, then a room full, then a basement full. Now in my current state, and once again on my Facebook, you see pictures of my basement, I have the whole basement. Matter of fact, my wife's like, look, when we build the new house, which we did in 98, can you just build a room for it? And I did. But now over time, it's all encompassing the basement again. And I actually have our two storage rooms filled with the stuff that's not displayed. So in other words, you know, it's just something I'm very passionate about. And also real quick, I love a bunch of other bands as much as I love Kiss. Back in the mid 90s, I like sold all my Sabbath stuff, my Van Halen, Nugent, blah, 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 on down. I collected other bands just like that. And once again, it was never like a hoarding thing. Everything's displayed. Matter of fact, I recently, on top of, you know, I've as you guys and you two guys know, you know, I've helped on different Kiss projects. I also just helped Martin Popoff, who's a great author. I helped him just release a Nugent book because I still have like the really core stuff from the other bands that I like too. I was always a stickler about keeping my music in chronological order and, you know, alphabetical. So I know how to get to everything. And the Kiss stuff is really no different. That's how come, you know, when I do this segment for the show every week, it's easy. I just go, okay, this is what I want to talk about. And I remember a couple weeks ago, Tommy said, hey, can you get some Unmasked stuff? No problems. Went right to the, you know, the 1980 file that I have and pulled out, you know, some stuff. Went, hey, here we go. So like I said, on top of, I have a passion for collecting, but I also have a passion for making sure that everything is displayable and
cool. You know, Mark, yes. you made a real interesting point that all of a sudden it just hit me. You go, as a kid, I didn't know I was collecting. And I'm like, I was the same way. You know, when I was that kid in 79, 76, whenever, I didn't know I was collecting Kiss. I was just, I want more Kiss magazines. That's a cool magazine. I've never seen that album. I'm buying it. But I guess my question is, was there a point where all of a sudden you went from that to now I am seeking out the items that are hard to find, the rarities, the one of the kind? When did you make that transition to I'm becoming like a professional collector now?
All right, this is kind of a twofold thing. Number one, and it's funny, once again, going back to Facebook, just ran into, I was just down in Tampa for the Kiss shows, ran into a buddy I grew up with. I remember before he moved there, his parents had his aunt or somebody down in Florida had HBO. Now keep in mind, this is 1979. Had HBO. Up here in Detroit, we didn't have that. Anyways, he gets a tape. She put a little microphone tape recorder and recorded the HBO special, which was Kiss in 77.
Yeah.
Sends it to my friend Mike. Keep in mind, I'm in eighth grade, 1977, because it's little, or 1979, late or early 79. Get this tape, and we play it constantly. Now, keep in mind, I didn't know that musical part at the end of Colgin, you know, how did that, you know, that's the part on Shock Me. You know what I mean? Now that, and at that time period, because 77, Alive 2 came out, or seven, you know, right there at the end. And the double choruses in Nothing to Lose, where they do the call and response. I'm like, what the hell is this? This isn't how it is on the record. So that started, here's where it ties in with the collecting. I was a big tape trader, so I would trade, you know, tapes constantly in the 80s. And I was playing in a band, and that's what I was doing. I was trading tapes worldwide with other fans. And, of course, what I got is whenever my band's music was, you know, who are your influences? You know, AC/DC, Aerosmith, Kiss were the biggies. So instead of sometimes people wouldn't send me money for my band stuff, they go, hey, you like AC/DC, you like Kiss, you like Aerosmith. Tell you what, I've got this live show. So I started going, hey, I'll just trade that. Next thing you know, I have boxes full of cassette tapes from, and most of them were just all vinyl rips from the, you know, the old Kiss bootleg vinyls. Right. Now keep in mind, all during this time, I'm buying all the Kiss magazines. And when I went to the shows, the tour books and the shirts and the belt buckles, anything you could get at the mall. So after, you know, like I said, probably in the mid to late 80s, I started going, wow, I got a lot of stuff. And I'll never forget, I don't know, did you guys used to get those heavy metal pamphlets or those, they were in the back of like Circus and Cream and everything. You could send away for their catalogs.
Oh, yeah.
I see people, I see people like, hey, you know, I have Kiss dolls and they're worth $50 or whatever it was at the time. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I got like 10 of those. And I'm like, you know what I mean? I didn't even know anything about it. So next thing I know, just started dating my wife. We're over in Windsor, Ontario, which is right across from Detroit. And I see this flyer and it's like a Kiss convention in Toronto. I'm like, really? They have these, you know?
Just like, and the, what are the chances of you actually going on that weekend?
So it's funny. So, you know, my wife was my girlfriend at the time. We were like, hey, you know, let's drive up to Toronto, you know, and that was the late 80s, early 90s. And, you know, the rest is a history, as they say. Next thing you know, I'm driving to New York every year. I'm driving to Cincinnati and Atlanta. And Mike, I remember I used to run into you. We didn't know each other then, but I remember, you know, and we have a ton of mutual friends. And really, that's right around the late 80s is when I'm like, hey, this is collecting. But I had this passion, which I still do. I want this stuff. And it's funny. You talk about some of the stuff that I wanted the most at the time. Now, keep in mind, this is late 80s. I remember that I knew they had an Unmasked songbook, but I couldn't find it anywhere. And I remember the very first New York Kiss convention I went to, you know, 90, 91 or whatever. And I found one, and I was like, oh my God, you know, because I had all the other ones, and that was the only one I couldn't find. So, I mean, stuff like that, and then going there and meeting everybody, and, you know, that's when Kiss collecting really took off for me, the early 90s, late 80s, because then it was game on. And I feel sorry for any of the, not sorry per se, but the Kiss Expos at the Rothman Center that Marvin Ritchie put on, freaking insane. You could find multiples of concert posters and all the
clutter.
Yeah, it. And I tell you what, matter of fact, once again on my Facebook, I posted a bunch of pictures when Bill Baker used to have his archives out there and stuff. Let me tell you, I mean, to the fans who are younger, there was nothing like it.
You know, I think that was probably incredible. The first time we met. Face to face was out there as well because we were in touch via phone.
I remember trading Cheap Trick tapes with you.
There you go.
you're right. Those early Kiss conventions. We did a episode about Kiss Expos months and months ago, and it just seems like what's happened at most Kiss Expos now is for the most part they've just turned into big retail stores.
Is that like you the know, here, Rothman here, Center stuff?
Yeah, it, you know, back then it was all the one of a kind, the originals. It was real collectible stuff. And now I feel like expos, and I'm not saying it's 100% because there are true dealers who still will show up at them, but you know, I feel like expos now are just overrun with. Here I've got 20 million things from Spencer's that were blowing out for $5 a piece because Spencer's can't sell them anymore. And it's just like, is it really just a garage sale at this point?
Well, here's the thing that I always have to take my timeline out of things. And I don't care if I'm talking about Kiss collecting, being a fan, going to an expo. And here's what I mean by that. And this is the thing that drives me personally crazy on the blogosphere. I have to keep reminding myself of my timeline is different from everyone else's, meaning certain people got into Kiss maybe in the 80s. I was there from the start. I had an older brother and older sister. Hotter Than Hell and Dressed to Kill were in my house and on our stereo when they were new. And I was 10 years old. I remember when Alive came out. And it's funny, talk about being a musician. I remember back in the early 80s when I was the band that I was talking about the demo tapes with, when I went to audition for them, I purposefully wore a Kiss shirt because I said to myself, if they don't like this brand of music, I don't. You know, keep in mind, in 82, 83, it wasn't real cool to like Kiss.
Right, right.
And I purposefully wore my Creatures of the Night tour shirt to my first rehearsal. And incidentally enough, I'm still with the bass player 30 years later. You know what I mean?
Worked out.
I wanted to be around people who understood that Kiss was a great hard rock band. And that kind of goes back to, you know, with the expos. Here's how that ties in. when I was a dealer, especially towards the end when I wasn't dealing, now keep in mind, I was doing Kiss Expos for a good 10, 15 years. I mean, I didn't miss any of them. I went to all of them. Towards the end, I noticed that people who would come with $100 would rather buy, you know, 10 $10 items.
Right.
Than one
and,
really.
And yeah. come to the event than the one $100 item. Where it before, people would come with that $100 item, you know, excuse me, $100 in their pocket, and they wanted to find, you know, that tour book they were looking for, something that was. And here's another thing that I with the modern expos, and really there's not a ton left. People like Steve and Keith and Mike, you know, the best of the best of the best people around. And they, I think they do a great service for the fans because you're never going to get that lightning back in a bottle, as they say, how the Rothman Expos work.
No.
So, you know, the ones that like, I'm just using, I think what they do at down in the Indie Expo is as good or as good as you can make a modern day expo. They get guys from the band there. They do have plenty of merch, but they make it a good family fun. It's still an exciting event to go to. I have to get out of my head when I go one of those things. If I go expecting a Rothman Center, I'm going to be disappointed. But yeah. If I go as a Kiss fan, I couldn't be happier. And in 2014, there's only one way to do these things is as a Kiss fan, because you're never going to find. Put it this way, there's only so many concert posters. There's only so many classic things. A lot of people like myself and I know a lot of other collectors, they have them and they're not letting them go. Right. So, I mean, you know, it's just the way it is, unfortunately. But yeah, you know, so, I miss those days too.
Well, of all of your stuff though, what's the one, I know it's probably going to be impossible for you to answer, but what's the one thing that you love the most out of all the things that you own?
I really couldn't answer that. Everything that I have, I mean, literally from stickers to my pinball machine to the costumes, and this is the cool part about being passionate about collecting. Everything has a story. I'll give you a great example. Do you remember when, I'm not using anybody's last names, but when my friend Joe, there was certain Kiss poems, you made that beautiful reproduction of the first album cover.
Yes.
That was probably in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Peter was doing conventions. Ace was doing conventions. Gene and Paul in 95 were doing the official conventions. It took me 2 years with the same ink pen.
To get all four of them.
To get all four autographs on the poster. But I saved the pen and I made sure they all, and that's what I was talking about. But what, yeah, it's just a Kiss poster, but you know, if I remember correctly, Gene and Paul signed, or I think just Paul signed in Pittsburgh, Gene signed in Detroit, Ace signed in Chicago, and Peter signed in New York. And I had to carry that thing around. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. Yeah, I mean, would you say the costume pieces I have are more important or more?
No, not necessarily, but that's the point.
What I mean. Yeah. That's the cool. So it's really hard. It's kind of like asking which is your favorite kid. You know what I mean? It's impossible. I mean, I love some stuff more than others. Just because the Spencer stuff I'm not attached to. I went to Spencer's and I bought it, you know.
Right.
Whereas other stuff I had to drive to New York and haul it back in my van, you know.
Is there something in your collection where it was a moment of, holy crap, I never thought I would ever be able to acquire this?
Yes, but those things came through auctions. I'll give you a great example. And once again, if on my Facebook, yeah, there's pictures of it. When I went and saw Kiss at the Silverdome back in 1979 on the Dynasty Tour, I now have their backstage towel from that show. You know what I mean? And I had to win that in an auction. But that was a huge day for me. I couldn't believe I got something from the backstage area from that show. So that, you know, something I showed on, I think the first episode I did with you guys, I have Peter's gold microphone from Circus Magazine.
Right.
Once again, and there's, don't get me wrong, getting stuff in auctions is cool. But when you go there, and that's why it sounds kind of silly, but you were earlier in the conversation, I said, getting my unmasked songbook. I purposefully drove 10 hours to New York going, God, I hope somebody has this stupid songbook that came out in 1980. You know what I mean? Because I didn't buy it because it wasn't popular at the time, but I found it. So that was like a big deal for me. And
we've talked about that. It's the hunt that is almost as exciting as getting the item in your hands. It's like I spent 10 years tracking this item down, going to this convention and that convention and talking to this person who thought they knew somebody who had it until you finally found it. That makes that item, which, again, might just be a songbook, so much more important than... And I'm speaking for myself, but then walking into an auction going, holy crap, there's 25 one-of-a-kind band-only items, and I can walk out with any of them if I've got enough money in my checkbook.
Right.
Well, you know what? Something recently happened, and this is, I think, a great example we were just talking about. That Lakeland, Florida Dynasty Tour book just came up on eBay. I don't know if you guys remember a few months back. That's the only tour book I don't have. The one with the Return of Kiss on the cover with the, you know, New York City skyline. And I think it got up to around 10 grand or something silly like that. But that's where I sit and I said to myself, you know what? Do I need it to complete? But there's a part where you just go, you know what? That's just insane. And I've seen stuff. I guess at that point you have to go, you know what? Do you really need it that bad? And Kiss for me is never. It's something I love, and something that you love shouldn't cause you heartache or pain or piss you off or, you know what I mean? It's.
I guess we talk about that every week.
Kind of like spending 2 hours trying to get Skype work. I'm passionate about this. I want it to work. But yeah, you know what I mean? If it starts ruining it. So you know what? I'm a huge Kiss fan, a huge Kiss collector, but I'm also sane about it. You know what I mean? There's certain things I want. I would love to have that. That would be a nice crown jewel. But once again, I said that when I got my pinball machine. You know what I mean? And, you know, when, as soon as you get that, you want something more. You know what I mean? So if I were to have bought that, I'd go, okay, then what's next?
I was just going to ask you, so what are the few items on the very top of your want list?
Oh, you know, I'm trying to think what would costume pieces are always huge, you know, but I'm trying to think of really that's one of them.
So let me ask you about ask you about the costumes. Is there a difference between getting costume pieces from the 70s, even the 80s, the non-makeup costumes they would wear versus a costume from, you know, Psycho Circus, Farewell Tour, Rock the Nation, where they made multiple versions of costumes just to sell them. Versus back in the 70s where, you know, there you might have the only piece left.
Yeah, obviously there is, but that, I don't care if you're talking about comic books or whatever. I mean, the more there is of something, you know what I mean, the less expensive it is, the less there is, you know, the price, supply and demand. I have 4 fully dressed mannequins that, you know, of each guy in my basement.
Which costume? What tour?
Which ones?
A reunion tour.
Okay.
But the cool part for me is there are stage worn. And matter of fact, on Gene's boots, my wife put them on, and my other friend Joe put them on. I've never put them on. But inside, the salt and the sweat stains are still there. Back of Paul's, on the back of Paul's jumpsuit, you can see where his guitar almost, which is why he stopped wearing the rub through the back. It almost just the jewels are still there, but you can see where the guitar strap was, you know? And that's what I mean when I look at those things. And Ace's, stuff is just, it's really lost its shininess. It's just dull. You can see just from the smoke that was, you know, on stage and in the arena. They're battle worn. You know what I mean? Are they from the reunion tour? Yeah. But you know what?
That's cool.
They were worn. Yeah, they
you'll
were
have
worn.
You'll have to do that once on one of the ones here coming up. Do the four mannequins on your segment.
Oh, yeah. I guess as soon as I learn how to use my Skype a little better,
we'll take you a little bit of time here, but you can just wear
the costume.
Yeah. Once again, I have a few pictures from in my bay. You can see them in the background, and here's something that's funny. Now, this is totally cool. When I got my jean boots, now we're all big Kiss fans. Remember in the Alive 2 order form, and there's a picture of Gene with his arms up, and you know what I mean? Yeah. That the classic Gene pose with the blue light on him. I remember when my boots came in the mail, and I felt like with Ralphie, like all that for a cruddy commercial and the Christmas stuff. I opened the box, and I'm like, holy crap. This is just hot glued and some fucking red sparkle. I'm like, what the hell's up with this? So I go and I look at the 77 picture. And I'm like, oh, fuck. It's just hot glue and red sparkle. But you know what I mean?
Cause, right.
Because you think you're like, oh, my. And then you're like, because that stuff was so iconic. You never took the time to just go, it's molded plastic and some sparkly glitter stuff with, you know. Then that's when I'm like, you know, when you have them in your hands, that was a little different. It was that factor, like.
Well, let me ask you though about those costumes, just because I know people will probably be curious about this. You have four complete costumes, one of each member. Did you have to buy piece by piece by piece, or were you fortunate enough to buy the entire thing from one particular person at a time?
They're not complete. I am missing some things from each. Okay. But I mean, overall, I mean, to your untrained person, they'd say they're complete.
Okay.
But, you know, to the people that are watching this, they're going to go, look, you're missing the necklace. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
But typically, like, does the whole thing come as one? Or are you buying this from here and that from there and da 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 da? You know?
Pieced together. Okay. But, you know, once again, though, too, I'm not a big eBay guy. Everything that I've gotten, I either bought at the official. Now this is costume ones.
Right.
I bought it from the band, or I've got them from somebody who, you know, you guys, you'd know the names of the people I bought this from, or more reputable people. And you know, I don't want to talk about anybody's first and last name here.
No, we don't want you. I was just curious, like if you've been lucky enough that you've connected with somebody who has the full Gene costume, or you had to get the boots from one person who had it and the suit from this and the armor, you know, that's what I'm saying.
I did have to piece some things together. Right. Now, Michael, you know, this one local guy here who's, you know, exactly who I'm talking about. Yeah. One of my best friends, love him dearly, but yeah, he's got the 70s ones and just incredible, you know.
How much stuff have you, whether it's costumes or other stuff, have you purchased directly from the band over the years? Have they been a good source of stuff?
Well, directly from the band, I just did the auctions just like anybody else would do. It's, you know, it's, but, you know, I also bought some. I was talking about one of the first Kiss conventions I went to in Toronto. Lydia was there, and she's a wonderful, wonderful woman. She's just fun to talk to about Kiss. And I did buy, I think I bought my Hotter Than Hell press kit from her. I bought, I think, my first lips pin that I bought from. So I remember one of the very early Toronto ones. I spent a pretty good amount of money at her table. And it was just cool that she was so cool about everything. And getting stuff from, you know, obviously it's Lydia, you know.
And you know it's legit and you have no, correct. You know. I'm going to ask you before I forget, when it comes to that, not that you're the source per se, but what can you say to people that want to buy these things? Because like for me, an autograph has zero value unless I got it myself. That's just me. Okay, so when people are looking online, whether it be eBay or wherever, is there anything you can do to kind of say, hey, this is things you should look out for when you're collecting? Or is there nothing you can
do? Avoid buying autographs on eBay, period.
Yes, totally. You know what? I wouldn't know how to answer that, and I'll tell you why. Once again, you know, timeline is everything. Which, like we talked about, the Rothman days, you knew early on who the reputable people were and who right. weren't. And to be honest,
but those guys have all gone now, aren't they?
I mean, yeah, I also had people call me because two things. You know, I don't, because I have my own business, and it's no different, you know, doing contracting or kiss collecting. If you keep your word and you pay for stuff right on time, you know, you'll get trucks as well as you will get kiss stuff. You know what I mean? Right. And that's something when I try to explain to people, you really need a background or something. It's not a game unless you're doing an auction that you can jump right into. And another great example is if there's fans who, much like something like, you know, the Three Side Show or whatever you want to call it, some people might recognize me from doing the conventions or my name from helping with a couple of the KISS stuff. They're like, you know, when they're looking to sell stuff, they go, oh, you know, I read you're a big collector. You helped with that. Or, you know,
right.
that once again, your average person isn't going to have that sort of, I don't know, what's the best word for that? A recognition or some sort of background. I authority. Mean, if you're just like, yeah, authority. If you're just going to walk right in and go, hey, you know what? I got 10 grand burning a hole in my pocket and you want to, you know, no one's going to know that you want that. You know what I mean? Unless you go to an auction, then, you know, you guys have as much chance of winning as I do. It's the right. person with the most money. But some people who have collections that maybe want to get rid of them or, you know, whatever their life's changed and they no longer want the stuff, they'll call a person like me or the people that I know well, and you guys know them too. And they'll call us and go, hey, you know what? I have X and I want to sell it for Y, you know? And hey, that happens. And I've gotten some pretty cool stuff like that over the years.
Is there a particular collecting pet peeve that when you run across it, it just always pisses you off? I mean, example being, for me, it just frosts me every time I see these people posting the Brazil Creatures of the Night collectible cover with Vinny on it, only released in Brazil, or the Brazil version of Elder that had the band in makeup on it. And it's just like, you guys know that's 100% bootleg. Somebody produced that, printed it out, and folded it into a record cover, put a record in there, and is selling it for $300. And you know, to me, that drives me nuts seeing people do that. If you want to spend your money, I can't stop you. But the people selling it, I guess, are like giving the true collecting a bad name, because now you can't trust anything. Is that actually a legit item, or did somebody make that Paul Stanley Firehouse hat and is trying to sell it for $2,000, saying, because you can't tell these days because things are so good in what people produce. Is there stuff like that that just makes you grit your teeth and go, God, I hate this?
I will tell you, Mike, I think you're familiar with it too. Do you remember the guy making the Firehouse helmets? Do you remember that guy? Probably the saddest story I've ever seen on eBay. Now, just to let some of the people know who don't know, because it was really, you know, the collectors all knew. Some guy, and you gotta give him credit, great research. He was buying the same helmets that KISS was using, and he would then make the sticker. So he would buy like a 1976 fire helmet, and he'd right. make sure it was the same kind that Paul wore. And then he'd just make a great sticker and put it on there. And if you looked at the serial number and all that stuff, it would look legit. Now what somebody did on eBay is they searched his records, what his past purchases, guess what he was buying? 1975 fire helmets. And he bought a yellow one and a red one and a white one. And 2 months later, he had a yellow, red and white one that Paul wore on stage. And he was suddenly got busted. And the reason he got busted is those pictures of the what he originally bought had scratches on them. And the ones he was selling that were Paul's, obviously you could just, you know, just do the simple right. math. And yeah, unfortunately there's just bad people in the world, and unfortunately, you know, there's bad people in the ZZ Top world, just like sure. there's bad people in the KISS world. And once again, you know what? no different than with you gentlemen. I always, the people who are good people I associate with, and the people who are bad, I don't. I feel sorry when I see Mike said. Yeah, I have emailed people and said, look, man, much like you just said as well, look, you can spend your money any way you want, but here's the reason this isn't real. And sometimes people blow it off, and then other people ask me, you know, well, how do you know that? And if I took the time to say that to them, you know, they'd take the time to write me back, and I'd help them out, because right. I, you know what, it's like anything else in life. I'd want someone to do that for me.
Well, yeah, the best one was somebody was trying to sell a towel that the four band members had wiped their face off.
No. That was an Ace Frehley towel. It was an Ace Frehley towel from, I don't know, was it like the last show of the farewell tour? And it was Ace Frehley's personal towel that he had wiped his face on, but the makeup was in the perfect pattern of Ace's face on the towel. It's like, dude, that doesn't happen like that.
Somebody actually did try doing it, and I don't know if it was or not, but it was just like someone who just went red, silver. They don't all use, that's, you know, you don't all use the same towel, guys. They, you know, there's a whole bunch of towels back there, and they didn't, you know. So, yeah, that kind of stuff. Now, Mike, somebody you know really well on the East Coast, going back to that Brazil cover, I think it's bullshit, too. They've told me that they personally asked Gene, and Gene said they did make one of those 83 covers with Vinny. And you know this person, good friend. And he said that Gene told him they did, and that's
And all I can say is, do you believe everything Gene has ever said?
There's a reason I don't have one. Okay, right. And that is, don't get me wrong, it's a great looking cover. I love it. I've had a chance to buy one more than one time. But like I said, from an extremely great source said that Gene, they asked him about that cover point freaking blank, and Gene said they did issue one with. I'm just telling you what I was told. I'm not saying on authority that I know there was.
And when this person
sees this, they're going to go, yeah, that's right. He did tell me to my face that there is one. So I don't know. I don't know, you know, but that, I tell you what, if it was real, that thing's sweet looking.
He probably told you to your face that Ace Frehley played on Psycho Circus as well. So you know what, you know, be careful what you believe from Gene.
I tell you what, though, too, it's funny, speaking of Psycho Circus, Mike, I remember when that came out, and I remember being at the, matter of fact, the Detroit Kiss Convention, and I had a copy of the single, and I remember playing it for people, and I remember going, that ain't Peter playing. You know what I mean? I've also been playing drums for 30 some years. I'm like, I was listening to it going, that ain't him. There's just, he doesn't play that way. Yeah, you know what I mean? And I remember going, oh, damn, because you're so pumped for when that comes out. And I also asked a former member of the band about, you know, the intro to Within, and, you know, and the whole Psycho Circus thing bugged me, just because you're so excited for the band to be playing, right. and they didn't. And I tell you what, I'll probably get some hate mail for this. I love, and I still listen to Sonic Boom and Monster all the time. And I think because those two records are what Kiss set out to do, meaning the four of them played, the four of them wrote. I love those two records. I love those two records as much as I love the first six studio records. They epitomize the passion. You know what, though? I don't care.
I know.
Because I tell you what.
It doesn't matter. You like it, and it's personal preference.
Yeah, well, exactly. There's no right or wrong here. But if you were to – you never heard of Kiss before. I think if you – those records, the last two, weren't overproduced, weren't – like,
sure.
Psycho Circus was, you know what I mean? I know we're skipping topics here, but the Psycho Circus, the whole era bugged me. It just, I don't know. It was just, I don't know. It could have been so great. And
it's funny because I will say I love the production on Psycho Circus. I think it sounds.
Oh, I do too. I think for Aerosmith, it would sound great.
Listen, I'm a huge Crazy Nights fan. I love number three Kiss album for me.
So,
is Crazy
Tommy,
Nights.
How's that? How's things going?
I think Monster. I think Monster and Sonic Boom would be so much better if they actually had somebody come in and produce them to the level of Crazy Nights or Psycho Circus. I don't think Paul should be allowed to produce them.
I don't disagree. You're absolutely. I think someone like Eddie Kramer, not Bob Ezrin, he couldn't work on those records, but somebody like Eddie Kramer coming in would have done a nice. You're absolutely right on both of those. I do think they're missing some production values, and that's where the problem I have with Crazy Nights. Oh my God, that is the epitome of a hair metal sheen. I can't stand it.
I love it.
And
that's exactly my point.
And I tell you what, I could never stand that song until they played it on the last tour. I'm like, hey, it's pretty good now.
Yeah, because they wiped all of the polish off of it.
Yeah, I tell you what, that was the cool thing about it. I love the way that the current band plays that. And I don't know. I just dig the way that Crazy Nights. And I tell you what, Hide Your Heart. I love that that's in the set right now. I think it sounds great.
Let me get back to collecting. So here's a question. You know, me growing up, I had my mom who was kind of my eyes and ears for collecting as well. So she loved to do flea markets. She loved to do garage sales, rummage sales, and she just knew. If you saw anything with Kiss on it, just buy it. Don't worry if I've got it or I don't have it. Is there something you have stumbled across in that type of setting, at a flea market, at a garage sale, where you walk by, you look at the table, and you go, oh my God, they're selling that for $2. That turned into a major score.
I have. Now, this would have been years ago. I think I picked up maybe like some belt buckles or something like that. That way, it's funny though, Mike. You talk about your mom. My mother was so supportive that she just saw the passion. She didn't care what it was. She just saw it was a passion. So if she went to the store, and this was cool, and you guys will dig this, I never wanted to buy 16 magazine. My mom did it for me because Kiss was on the cover, so I didn't have to worry about this shirtless picture of Sean Cassidy on the, you know, the picture next to Kiss. I just would tell my mom, if Kiss is on a magazine, just buy it. You know what I mean? And right. She would. And you know the really. My mom was really, really cool with the whole Kiss thing, and very supportive of music, just very supportive of everything. So I was pretty lucky that way. Because speaking of reading some stuff on the blogs and on Facebook and stuff, let's face it, there's some guys whose parents like burn their stuff and, you know, all kind of. God, I was so lucky, you know. My dad was like, he just didn't care. It was whatever. That's something his nutty kid liked, you know. And my mom was like, you like it, you're into it, here you go. You know what I mean? Read all you want about it. Listen to all you want. You know, it was really, really
good. Cool. You're so lucky, and we're going to talk about that down the road, too, because there are so many people who parents were just like, they're devil worshipers and da-da-da, whatever, you know, that it's cool that you had parents that supported you.
I tell you what, and this is just a personal story. It's not really about Kiss, and this in a nutshell explains how my relationship was with my mom. The woman across the street, she called my mom going, my nephew, meaning her sister, son is into Ozzy Osbourne, and he's a devil worshiper, and blah, 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 blah. I see Mark wears that stuff and listens to that stuff. And my mother said to her, because my mom told me the story, she said, look, I raised my kids to be smart enough to know what's show business and what's not show business. I didn't raise dummies. My kid knows what's going on. She realized Ozzy doesn't really bite bats' heads. Yeah. He's a singer in a rock band. And the sooner that you realize that Ozzy's a singer in a rock band, you won't freak out. It's all show business.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that I had parents that just went, you know what, you're not a knucklehead. You know the difference between right and wrong. And maybe that's how come, you know what I mean? I have such a positive outlook on and a passion for it. It's just fun, man. Kiss is fun. You don't have to worry about being lectured. And that's the whole thing, too, just about the current state. These people who, the original band, you know what? Go to a show. It's great. It's fun. They blow stuff up. They play great songs. You're going to have a good time. Just have fun.
It's just Kiss rock and roll.
Kiss is on. I know. It just drives me up the freaking wall. I put it this way. I don't let it drive me up the wall, but I just snicker and laugh when I see Bill bitching about, oh, this is the original band, and who cares, man? I tell you what, I've been to over 100 Kiss shows, been well over 100 Kiss shows. The greatest show I still relive in my mind did not have Peter or Ace in it. Kiss at Cobo, February 23rd, 1983. Greatest concert, better than Van Halen, better than I've seen Sabbath. The best concert I ever went to in my life of any band. And I'll tell you, in my head, I think because that was the last time Kiss played there was at the Silver Dome in front of almost 40,000 people. 3 years later, they're at Cobo, which was about 80% sold. And I know they came out there going, fuck this. And I still remember that vibe. And Wendy O went on. I'm a big Plasmatics fan.
Yep.
Wendy O went on, and I was right up against the stage, and it was freaking awesome. And Gene just, I was scared of him then. And once again, there's that word again, passion.
Yep.
There was a band out to prove something. And once again, no Peter, no Ace, no problem. And that was still the greatest Kiss concert I ever went to.
That's your mantra. No Peter, no Ace, no problem.
Exactly.
Send the email to Mark. We didn't say that. Mark said that.
Look, man, I love the original band as much as anybody else does. But come on.
But you've made a choice to move on, and that's been our point too. It's not that we don't like Ace and Peter. We choose to still like what they're doing, and I support it. Whoop-a-dee-doo.
Look, as you guys know, or anyone who's close to me, my other favorite band is Deep Purple. Mm-hmm. Talk about a virtual cornucopia of past members.
Deep Purple is in what, Mark 72 of the version of that band?
Yeah, that's exactly it, man. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I'm going to see them in a couple weeks, and you know what?
They're going to play jazz.
Yeah, and I don't care. Ian Gillan could sing the phone book, and I'd like it. You know what I mean? And once again, much like Paul Stanley, they're not doing Child in Time. If anybody's a Deep Purple fan, that's where Ian screamed and said, you can't do it anymore. But you know what?
Makes sense.
Yeah, who cares? They're still going to do all the other tunes, and it's going to sound great. And I'm going to go there, and I'm going to have the time of my life.
Perfect.
And just like when I go, I'm hoping to probably going to go to Chicago next week. See Kiss, going to have the time of my life. They're coming back here the week after. They're going to have the time of my life. I mean, hey man, it's Kiss. Awesome. I want to get as much Kiss in as possible till you can't have them anymore. Something that brings a lot of joy to my life and always has, and that's the reason I'm a nut job.
Are you going to go backstage and meet the band?
Yeah, maybe.
We need to get you a Three Sides of the Coin T-shirt to wear.
Oh God!
Come on, hey!
But this connection's breaking. What the hell?
Yeah, but sorry. You know what? Guilt by association, my friend, because you were dumb enough to agree to do the 3 minutes.
Exactly.
And now here you
on now
the
are
show.
Associated to these haters.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Have you ever got any backlash from the band about any of this?
None at all.
They like the show.
Tommy's emailed us because he's listened to it. We just had a fan on last week who was talking to Eric Singer backstage, and Eric says he's listened to it and the band has no problem with it. Who was it? Larry Mazur was on, and Larry surprised us by saying, well, you know, before he agreed to do the show, I called Gene and Paul to see if they had any problems with me doing it, and they had no problems at all.
Look, Mike, you know this. You were close enough to them for years. And look, those four guys in the current band are the nicest, coolest people. I'm telling you, you know what I mean? It's no secret. Like I said, I've done some things for them. I've helped out with certain projects and provided them with certain things that they needed whenever they've asked. And I tell you what, they've been great to me. Eric and Tommy, incredible people. Paul and Gene, incredible people. Nice, just good people. And this is no secret. Once again, Aaron, bring up my Facebook again. You know what? I did a bunch of stuff for them, and Spiro and Eric. They helped me get Gene gave me a bass on the first cruise for all this. I didn't ask for it.
That's
just
awesome.
You know what I mean. I helped them out with some stuff, and tell you what, man, I was touched like you would not believe it. Just, here you go, man. When I got on the ship, They called down the guy who used to handle it. Once again, I don't want to use everybody's name.
Yeah, no, you don't. You know what I mean? You don't need to.
And I tell you what, just made my day. I tell you what, that's how come when people say, oh, they're greedy, they're this. No, they're not. They're smart. They're good people. Mm-hmm. And you know what? God love them. You need more people like that in the world. They're in the asset column, not the liability column.
That's cool.
You know what I mean? They're hardworking, good people, and they get everything that's coming to them. You know what I mean? And they've been nice to me. And I'm nice to anyone who's nice to me. That's
solid. Yeah. So to answer your question, yeah, we think everything is cool because we've gotten support from them. We've heard from other people as well that are around them that they get a kick out of us.
Good, good. I mean, like I said, if I do run into anybody next week in Chicago.
Well, you'll have your three-side shirt.
We'll send you a three-side shirt so you can wear it when you get your group photo with them.
I tell you what, though, you know what? If you guys want, because one thing that three sides I noticed nobody ever represented at the cruise. I don't know. I should maybe talk about
this. You're going, right?
This will be number four, baby.
All right, you're gonna be the rep. We had Izzy represent us on the Monsters of Rock cruise, but no, you can rep us at the Kiss cruise. We'll send you a bunch of guitar picks. Send you some t-shirts.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Maybe you know, if someone recognizes me from the show and wants, I don't know, however you want to work it, I mean, we can talk about this afterwards.
I want you to take the guitar picks, and as Kiss is playing, I want you to flick our guitar picks at them as they're playing.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. We can talk about it later. That'd work. But I got it. Are we wrapping up here?
Yeah, let's wrap up because Tommy's got to run. So homework. Is there any homework question? Let's come up with something real quick. What is your most treasured Kiss collectible? Not the most valuable item, but just the most treasured.
And which one what don't you have that you really, really want?
You realize when this is over, I'm going to go, holy shit, this is what I know. Matter of fact, and I said it on my last little segment, although it wouldn't be the one that airs this week. Those Elder shirts, the promotional Elder shirts.
I'm mental for that.
I have the one white one. There's a long sleeve black one, and there's another one. I've never even it's stuff like that, and that's where I love. If someone else could go onto the Three Sides site and post, just to see that there is one, because I tell you what, there's a matter of fact. I shared it on this too. That the little Super Trooper pin, and God, I tell you what, Nicholas, who runs everything Kiss,
right?
I love the guy. Great guy. And once again, I just met him through, you know, talking Kiss stuff. And I tell you, if you want to go to an incredible Kiss site, everythingkiss.com, awesome. Yep. And Nicholas is just the salt of the earth. Anyways, I had the Super Trooper pin, and he talked to somebody that had, I don't know if it was the general or admiral, whatever, the highest pin you could get. I'd never seen one. So just as a Kiss nut job collector, just to see, I'm like, okay, it does exist.
Right.
I tell you what, if you want homework, this is what I think. Why don't you send in a picture of something if you think you have something that no one else has?
Great.
Right.
Love it.
I would love to see, because there are some things that are just, and once again, it's not a homemade, that something that you could see in a Kiss catalog
it was something that your local TV station or radio station only released because this happened, or... You know, it doesn't have to be the super rare Kiss costume piece. It could be the little sticker that you think is so rare because no one else has ever seen it. You know, those are the to me those are cool. Those are the real cool things that only showed up in one town for 1 year and most fans never even knew it existed.
Well, that's what I like collecting. I'm really big into ads. And newspaper articles, super duper into that. Why? They only existed for one day in one city. And to get stuff like that, man, I go, that's stuff I really love to collect. That's something. And when you say something that you want, well, a lot of those things, when you stumble upon them, you're like, holy crap, is this cool? You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I'm into that kind of stuff.
All right, so there you go. There's your homework. Head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/threesidesofthecoin. You can post photos on there. If you've got something that you want to share but you don't want to do it publicly, feel free to message us. We'll make sure that Mark gets the message. If it's something where you're like, listen, I want to make sure Mark sees this, we'll make sure he gets it. You can leave your comments on YouTube. You can leave it on the website. But there you go. That's your homework.
Perfect.
Cool.
That works for me.
That's it, guys.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mark. Guys, that was awesome.
It was awesome.
Until next
week. It was worth the wait. Holy
worth
shit.
The fight. All right, guys. Later.
All right.
Hey, Three Sides fans, Mark Cicchini here from Detroit Rock City. Today, we're going to look at a pretty unique item. Some people call it the Kiss Bible. Other collectors call it the Kiss Black Box. And here's what the other collectors, as well as myself, are talking about. This is the Kiss Black Box. Oop, not that way. The Kiss Black Box. What this was Kiss sent to the radio stations back in the 70s to promote the solo records. So as soon as you open it up, make sure nothing falls out. First thing they did, of course, is give you a nice little postcard with the current images of the guys. Keep in mind, this is released in September of 78. With still in the Love Gun garb. That's just a postcard that came with it. And also, here's some suggested questions. Now, that's kind of funny, and I'm going to show you why. This comes with a cassette in it. Keep in mind, this was the 70s. This is a cassette, and it comes with one song for each guy. I haven't taken this thing out in forever. So, Gene's was Radioactive. Paul's was Hold Me, Touch Me. Peter's was Don't You Let Me Down, and Ace's, of course, was New York Groove. So what they did is they had one song each on that, and here's the funny part. Inside this booklet, what they did is they gave you questions. Well, let's see if I can't. And these are the questions that you would ask each member. And what they did, or what they did in the studio, in the radio station, is they would play the tape, and the questions, the answers were already there. So you'd ask Paul Stanley, the announcer's question is, you've been performing as Kiss for so long, how did you first feel at the idea of performing on your own? And of course, on the tape would be Paul's answer. So it's kind of a cheesy way to make it sound like they were actually in the studio with him. And finally, this also came with this little booklet. It's pretty cool stuff. And it's just bio on each guy from the black and white photo of the and a discography on the back. So that's it, the Kiss Black Box. Hopefully you guys dug it. Those of you who've always wanted to know what it was, well, that's what it is. It's a promo for the solo albums. Hope you guys dig it. See you next time. Rock on.
Get your Three Sides of the Coin t-shirts, now available and shipping worldwide. Order at shop.threesidesofthecoin.com. For interviews and media inquiries, contact Izzy at izzypresleyproductions.com. Download your free ebook by Michael Brandvold called Kiss School of Marketing, 11 Lessons I Learned While Working with Kiss. Available for free at noisetrade.com/Michael Brandvold.